Maize and Cultures to Parents Support Group are sponsoring this series of the Multi-Schools Lowdown. We offer support for families of children and young people with special educational needs in the Colchester area. To learn more and get in touch, please visit the Maize website, themaizegroup.co.uk.
In this episode, we hear from Ruth Whitehead, who is the head at Marketfield School, and she talks about her journey to becoming head, what it's like working at Marketfield School, the challenges through COVID-19, and how they're developing the curriculum so that more children can leave and find employment. So, Ruth, could you just start by telling us about your journey to becoming head of school at Marketfield School?
Yeah, so I trained as a teacher back in 2003 now, and it became clear to me quite early on in my training that the kids that I felt most attuned to, the ones that I thought I could really make a difference to, were the ones with special educational needs. So I trained in Wales, which in itself was a challenge, in some lovely little Welsh valley schools, where for some of the day, the children had to speak Welsh. And so they were dual language schools. So during those times, these children who had additional needs were coming out with me to do extra interventions in English, in maths and literacy and things, just to boost them. And I really enjoyed that. I loved how these children were quirky. And to me, it felt more like I was making more of a difference. It wasn't just putting children into a machine at one end and them all coming out sort of factory ready and the same at the other. And then after training, I did a bit of supply work up in Lancashire, because I had a young baby at the time, and was really lucky to be offered the chance to apply for Marketfield. And I came here in September 2006, had a Year 9 class, which at the time I was like, oh, I'm a primary teacher of the Year 9 class, but loved it. I think I'd been here about a week and thought, you know what, I found my place, I love it here.
Yeah.
And haven't looked back since, really. I just love how every day is different. There's no grace and ceremony here. You get in with the kids, and yeah, I love it. I do our tribunals, and the last line on sort of my introduction to the tribunal bit, where I'm talking all about me, is that I truly believe that special education needs is where my passion is, and I really do believe that. I can't see myself ever working anywhere else.
That kind of leads on to my next question, and there's lots there that I didn't know, actually, I guess because I've never asked, but like the training in Wales and stuff, so it's really interesting to hear. So what is, like, you say you love it so much, what are like the best bits of working at Marketfield?
Oh, I'm to start. It is just that every day is different. So this week I've had a child come up to me who remembered me doing a superhero assembly nearly 2 years ago and asked me when I'm going to be Buzz Lightyear again, and the next minute I've got a child down in Acorn class coming up to tell me about a story he's written, and I've got these new stickers and they're all vying for a new sticker at the moment, so it's lovely. I'm having like a constant stream of children coming to show me what they've done and things, and
yeah.
Also then just sort of the silliness and going out into the playgrounds when we can, and sort of messing around with them out there and going into the lunch hall and sitting with a group and finding out how the day's going. And
I better ask you, because you just mentioned it, will you ever dress up as Buzz Lightyear again?
I will definitely dress up as Buzz Lightyear. You probably can't see him, actually, but behind my window, I've got a really tiny little Buzz Lightyear that Mr. Dwight gave me to remind me of that. But one of the reasons I did Buzz Lightyear was because it's about infinity and beyond, and it's about being better than you are now, and it's sort of reaching for the stars. And actually, it really linked in with Marketfield and what we're all about. He's at home at the moment collecting dust, but at some point he'll come out again.
Got a really good link there as well. We recorded a podcast a few weeks ago called Reach for the Stars by one of our former pupils, so you can see that massive link there. So no, that's brilliant, and it's on record now that might come out again, Ruth. So you can't get away from it.
I don't need much of an excuse to dress up, so it will come out again.
So obviously, you know, that's talking a lot around the positives, and you know, I can really see how passionate you are about it. Obviously, at the moment, times are very different, and COVID has affected every single person, you know, whether that be children or their families. So as a school, how have you kind of responded to that for the children, for the parents, and also the staff? Because I know from speaking to lots of different groups, Marketfield has been praised for their response. So, yeah, what has been the response?
So it became really clear really early on that we needed to be transparent in our approach to dealing with this, and that any decision we made we shared with parents and pupils and staff. And I was really lucky that Gary agreed with me on that. And if this was something that we did together, it became obvious that children with an EHCP could still attend school. For the majority of our children, it wasn't necessarily the safest place for them to be. Mm. So we had to look at what we could do that was different. For the children who absolutely 100% needed to be placed in school, we stayed open and stayed open throughout, and they came in throughout. For the other children, we set up really quickly our remote learning package. Something about our remote learning package actually is it's remote, but it's not online. And that's been really deliberate. We looked at where our children come from and realised that actually in terms of inclusivity, they haven't all got access to printers. So sending home loads of work that needed to be printed off and things wasn't the way forwards. And also bearing in mind that for a lot of our children, home is home and school is school. So all our work went home in work packs. I was looking back at my notes yesterday, actually, somewhat naively back in March, I asked the teachers to do work packs for 2 weeks. You know, just for 2 weeks, we're fine, they'll all be back then. And then obviously it didn't happen. Mm. So we had to keep redoing the work packs and things. And I hope that our parents feel that they were helpful. We tried to make them as varied as we could do. Since we've been back in September and we've gone on to remote learning, we have learnt a little bit from feedback. So now our children should be going home with about 20 pieces of work a week if they're off. Literacy and maths every day, and something active every day. That's really important to us. We're aware that it's not as easy for our children to be running around playgrounds or home PE lessons at home as it is at school.
Yeah.
So putting in something active and also to keep their minds busy. And then the last one is just whatever they would have been doing in school. So a bit of history, a bit of music or something, just so they've got a really varied curriculum. The best thing I think we did, and I'm so proud we did this, was that we opened for the last 3 days of the summer term properly.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a risk. And I had so many sleepless nights about doing that. But it was really, I found it really concerning that our children would have been out of school for 24 weeks without being in. And it was also, from a strategic point of view, it was a really good way for me to test our systems and procedures for September. So we did. So for the last few days of the summer term, we opened the school to anyone who wanted a place in the school. Overwhelmed with how well the staff, the parents, everyone bought into that. I think we had about 80% of the children in, which was phenomenal. Yeah, yeah. It was. and that worked really well.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and since we've been back in September, it has just been about carrying on what we've been doing. So obviously all the enhanced cleaning, hand sanitising, we'll start wearing our lovely masks more now. And actually we've upped that again this week. So from Monday, the children will be wearing masks in the corridors. But just doing what we can to keep the children safe, but also reassuring the children why we're doing it. And lots of work around social stories with them. The reason we're doing our masks from Monday, not from today, so that the teachers can spend today explaining to the children why it's important that we wear the masks and things. So just lots of reassurance.
No, definitely. And I think it's really key what you said there about it's that kind of balancing that risk and reward all of the time, making sure that it's safe, but that, you know, the children are still getting what they need from their education, but also the overall experience, which we all know is so important for schools like Marketfield. But the key, as you said, Ruth, and it's clear from what we're hearing, is that transparency and communication, which unfortunately isn't always a case across, you know, all education kind of sectors, but you know, we can only control what we do and positively do that. So I just want to go at a slightly different angle now, and because of things that we've kind of spoken about in the last couple of days, really, but dyslexia and the support that's out there for children and families. I know it's something that has changed over the years. Could you just give a bit of insight into, you know, if there's families out there that need that support, what support is out there, if any?
Yeah, it's really tough in Essex because of how it's diagnosed or not diagnosed. In terms of Marketfield, we've started to signpost our parents up to the Indigo Centre. They have offices in Bury St Edmunds, Norwich and Cambridge, I think. And I found out about the Indigo Centre partly through my husband, because he's a specialist teacher for Suffolk, but also my eldest and my middle child both got dyslexia. So we went up there for their assessments. I would like to think other schools are going to be creative with their COVID catch-up premium. I know we certainly are, and we're going to train one of our unqualified teachers to be our dyslexia specialist. So she's going to be in charge of collating the reports for children who've got dyslexia, making sure they've got the right resources in the classrooms, that if the report says they should be having apple coloured paper, that actually all their notebooks, all their exercise books are in Apple and things, because dyslexia shouldn't be a barrier to learning. Children with dyslexia are so creative and have got so many qualities that they can offer. So dyslexia is on my school improvement plan, and it's something that we're going to really focus on at Market Field over the next 18 to 24 months, is enhancing what we do, try and get our dyslexia specialist in place, and then go from there.
And as you quite rightly mentioned, it shouldn't be that barrier to kind of accessing English or even other kind of areas as well. So that leads nicely on to kind of developing the whole curriculum. So I know I'm not working, you know, as closely with Marketfield now. My work's kind of all over. The last CPD I remember sitting in was about developing the curriculum and like really trying to enhance and enrich it so that by the time children leave us, they have the skills they need to fulfill their lives. How's that work kind of going, Ruth, and what's being done to develop the curriculum?
So it slowed slightly during COVID because we had other things to focus on. But working with Kim McWillian, our school improvement lead, over the next 6 months, we're going to really up the pace in that again. So we're looking at the whole curriculum, including college in that, and we're looking at the outcomes for the end of college and looking at those courses that we offer over our college site. And then mapping back, okay, so if they want to be a chef or they want to work in catering by the time they leave us, what is that going to look like if we map that back to key stage 4, key stage 3, 2 and 1? What skills do they need to get when? We're going to do more work around Gatsby and employability down in key stage 1 and 2. And we do some already, but more sort of careers days, role playing, that kind of thing. We spent quite a lot of time looking at, obviously, our officer feedback from last time as well. And something I think we can improve on is our food technology provision. We might look at employing a food technology teacher moving forward so that we can really offer a really sort of progressive food technology. It's an ultimate life skill, food tech. And if that's something we can offer on the school site, which they can then go to college and build on to get those catering qualifications, and that's definitely worth our doing.
Yeah.
Then our other focus for the going into the spring and summer term is to look at the pathway through the school, that is Apple Class, Class H and HP, and look at their curriculum through the school and what are the outcomes going to be for those children.
Oh, brilliant. And that sounds great. And I know, again, just from speaking with like people within Essex, that kind of Gatsby benchmarks stuff is a real kind of focus at the moment for trying to get all schools to have a look at it. So the fact that, again, Market Fields there and looking at that stuff as well is brilliant. So I just want to, the last question I want to finish on is kind of what I hope ties some of this stuff together as well is the work that, you know, the children of the multi-schools and all the other people supporting it are doing. And why is it important that you think we do continue to kind of challenge negative perceptions around the children that attend our school? Because we know that it is still out there, and these outdated opinions can negatively affect a lot of our kids.
Absolutely. It's about realising that our children are so much more than the name on their badge or, you know, the name on the CV that says where they went from. It's about looking behind that and listening to their stories and realising that potential. And I don't think that's just the children at Market, but I think that's any child with a learning disability. My eldest son, he had a horrendous time through primary school. He thought he was stupid, he was labelled as stupid, and when he passed his SATs, just, he scraped, but he passed his SATs in year 6, and the teacher turned around to him and said, oh, I really didn't think you were going to do that. And it absolutely floored him, it destroyed him. He wasn't diagnosed with dyslexia until year 9, but his confidence now has grown. The school has worked really, really hard with him, and he's got a career plan now. He knows what he wants to do next year at college. And yes, his story has been, ultimately it's been successful and he's going to be fine. But it could have so easily have gone the other way as a result of just a careless comment at the end of year 6.
Mm.
And it's something that I want to raise awareness of with professionals and, you know, with everybody really, that children with learning disabilities are much more than just, you know, they're much more than, oh, such and such is, oh yeah, he's autistic, or, oh yeah, Billy's got dyslexia and things. They're people with real qualities and we need to take the time to find out what those qualities are.
Thank you. And that's, like you said, it's that awareness even in the profession that, you know, we still need to look at as well, because throwaway comments like that, as gave that example, they're really not helpful. So thank you so much for covering lots of different areas there, Ruth. And I'm sure not just people, you know, connected to Markerfield, but beyond that will be really interested to hear about your perspective and everything you've mentioned. So thanks for your time.
Everyone is different and special in their own way. We should be including everyone, so let's start today.